Amen. Praise God. How many of you know that you guys are rich? Amen. How many of you know that? How many of you are convinced I'm rich? Does it just because it doesn't, I mean, it's because it might not be showing up in your in where you live or what you drive? Does that mean, does that have anything to do with the richness that God has given you? It doesn't have anything to do with it. Know this, that the Word of God says that you are rich. Amen. He became poor for us so that we could be rich in Him. The richness, the wealth that He had, He laid it aside and came and died on a cross for us so that we might pick up that richness. Amen. Hallelujah. How many like money? Come on, you guys, nobody's gonna put up your hands. Come on. Come on, you guys. How many like, come on. How many of you know that money is a tool for you? Amen. It's something that goes in your toolbox. Amen? Hallelujah. How many like money? Amen. God, I'm still only getting 3 hands, 4 hands. One guy with 2 hands. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to know this morning that God wants to bless you. He really does. It is important that God says that, you know, in multiplying, I will multiply you, and in blessing, I will bless you, is what He told Abraham. And that same promise is to us. Amen? Amen? In multiplying, I will multiply you, and in blessing, I will bless you. And He does want to bless you. Hallelujah. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we don't need to live our lives going, really, I talk about Corvettes all the time. But I don't need a Corvette. I tell you the truth, I don't even want a Corvette. What I'm after is the blessing of the Lord. It's my delight. Remember how we talked about delight last time? I delight in it. That word delight actually means desire. I desire the blessing of the Lord. And that blessing comes in one way that I know of there's no competition to it. It's His presence. The blessing of the Lord that comes with His presence, and when He speaks to you, hallelujah, it's incredible. Praise God, hallelujah. If you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry, hey, let's... We can dismiss the kids this morning. Amen. Bye, guys. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, man. That worship service gets me, man. I'll tell you what. I don't know. I get jittery and everything up here. First Kings 10. Praise God. First Kings chapter 10. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for what You're doing this morning, Lord. We thank You, Lord. That, Father, You are doing things in our lives, Father God, to strengthen us and to build us, Father. Things are happening, Lord, because You care about us, Father. So, Father, I thank You, Lord, that this morning as we go to Your Word, Father, that You will speak by Your Holy Spirit to each and every person that's in the house. That Your Spirit, Father, would speak a word into the spirits of everyone here this morning. Lord, I thank You for that, Lord. Lord, I would say, have Your way in this house this morning. Yes. Have Your way, Lord. Build Your people and strengthen them. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Shake somebody's hand that's right next to you. Don't get up. Just reach over and shake it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. The Word of God says this: the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Hallelujah. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. They had just a few words before this, they had called him Beelzebub. They told him, hey man, the only reason he can cast out demons is because he is the prince of demons. And not only did they say that to him, they also were telling him, they said, hey, show us a sign. He'd been doing things all around them, is that right? People were getting healed, their miracles were happening, and they're telling him, hey, show us a sign. And he said, hey, an evil and perverse generation asks for a sign. How many know we shouldn't be seeking signs? How many know that? We should be seeking the Lord. And what I love about it is that when we're seeking God, signs tend to follow. Amen? Praise God. Things will happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to take you to 1 Kings chapter 10. Let's go to that. We're going to read a little bit about the Queen of Sheba, where Jesus was referring to, he said, the Queen of the South came. And then he says, what I love about the end of that verse, he says, a greater than Solomon is here. Everybody say amen. 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 You know where the greater the Solomon is? He's in here with you guys. If you've received Jesus Christ in your life, he's here. He's in your heart, man. Hallelujah. So here we go. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 10, starting at verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem, a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. See those words? There was not anything hid from the king. Who was answering the questions? It was God. God was answering all her questions. There was not anything hid from him in the things that she was asking for. So, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom in the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cup. What's she looking at? She's looking at how God has blessed this man. Is that right? Hallelujah. And the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Hallelujah. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and of your wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came and my eyes have seen. Seeing is believing. How many know that?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, maybe, huh? Hallelujah. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom. Amen. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear your wisdom. Amen? Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as those which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram, that brought gold from Ophir, brought in Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire. whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, and she and her servants. Amen. Praise the Lord. Queen of Sheba came to check him out. Amen. And she saw more than she even expected. Is that cool? Isn't that cool how God wants to bless his people? Yeah. Yeah, I think it's cool. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's cool. God does want to bless his people. Amen? Hallelujah. But how many of you know with every blessing, do you know that Solomon, later on, because he had so much, his eyes shifted. And it turned on him. Is that right? He began to collect wives. Huh? Bad deal. Amen? How many say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, one wife is enough. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. One wife, man. Come on. I mean, and he began to have all these, and they began to turn his heart away from God. And because he had so much, so there was such an abundance. So how many of you know there has to be some kind of a balance in order for us to, be blessed with God and continually be blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures. Well, before we do, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. I'm going to go back and read this to you because one of the things that was kind of crazy about Solomon, this is about his dream. Solomon didn't ask for it. How many know that? Solomon did not ask for those riches. Amen. I'm going to say that to you again, but I want you to think about this in your life. Solomon didn't ask for the riches. Solomon asked for something else. And God said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm going to bless you, man. I'm going to bless you. Because how do you know that God wants to bless us? He really does. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at Solomon's dream here. Starting at verse 5, it says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I will give you. Hey, blank check. Amen? Come on, man. Ask. Ask me. Ask me is what he's saying. Praise God. I love it, man. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto you thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him from this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. Amen. I know not how to go out or come in. Isn't it nice to be nice and truthful with God? How many know it's good to be truthful with God? It's good to be. I'm going to tell you. It's good to be truthful with God, because He knows already whether you're being truthful with Him or not. Amen. Might as well be just truthful with God. Just say, God, you know what? I'm having problems with this person, or I'm having problems, and I'm just being truthful, Lord. I need help. Amen? Amen. Come on. We can do that, because God already knows it. And God says, call upon me in time of trouble, and I will answer you. So he says, I don't know how to come out, go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart. Hear what he's asking for. To judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. This is what Solomon's asking for. He says, give me an understanding heart. Amen? Amen. An understanding heart. How many of you know there's a difference between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding? Understanding, if you will, is the best part of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowing something is one thing. Knowing how to use it is wisdom. Amen? Hallelujah. But when God gets involved, God gives understanding to that wisdom, and all of a sudden, it breaks forth into something even different. They call it revelation. another word for it, that God brings to you understanding. Because God is trying to bring us, listen, God is trying to bring us understanding so that He can take us to another level. How many know that? Amen. How many know there's levels with God? Yep. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm not where I first got saved. I'm glad I'm not there. But I know that I am not. I know that there is a long, long way for me to go. Amen? How many know that? And I thank God for it. How many know that the journey validates the arrival? You have to go through things to learn about God. As you go through those things, as you journey in your life, God brings knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And it brings you another level. And then you start going through something, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You get to another level. And then you start going through something, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Boom. And God is taking you someplace. How many know that? Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Sometimes people give up. When they go through something, He gives them knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And they start going through something again, and they get mad, they get hurt, and it doesn't progress. Know this, folks. God is interested in who you are, so He is taking you through things. I don't care what it looks like. It does not matter. God is building you and strengthening you by the things that you go with. How many of you know that? Hallelujah. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Solomon asked for an understanding heart. Amen. Isn't that good? Praise God. Young man doesn't know how to go in and come out, but he knows how to ask God for things. Is that cool? He knows how to ask. Hallelujah. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this great, so great a people? And the speech, I like this, and the speech pleased the Lord. That Solomon had asked this thing. God got excited. God was pleased with his. Ooh, he said, yeah, come on. That's Solomon, that's what I'm talking about. Asking for the things, listen, that are invisible to you. God wants to give us those invisible things. Hallelujah. You want to take that just for, hopefully that's going to hit really nice later on today, right after you had your lunch. Yeah. Yeah, come on. And it pleased the Lord. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, neither have asked riches for yourself, nor has asked for the life of your enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Listen to those three words. Understanding to discern. Four words, sorry. To discern judgment. This is what Solomon asked for. And God was fired up about it. He says, behold, I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like you. And I have also given you that which thou hast not asked. See what God's doing? He says, I've also given you this, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you all your days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast unto his servants. Amen. Hallelujah. How many like dreams? Come on, man. The word of God says in the last day, God's going to give you dreams and visions. Amen. Hallelujah. So it doesn't hurt to ask God, say, God, how about a dream tonight? When you go to bed tonight, say, hey, God, how about you just give me a dream? Will that work? God, I would like to know where you want me to go. I want to know what's happening in my life. Lord, give me a dream. Hallelujah. Even better, Lord, while I'm at work, give me a vision. Hallelujah. Ask Him for them. It doesn't hurt to ask God for them because He hears what you're asking for. Ask and it shall be given, right? Seek and you shall what? Knock and it shall be what? Open to you. God wants you to ask. So it doesn't hurt at all to ask for dreams and visions. I'm still asking. I'm saying, Lord, I know we're here at this building. Why not? Show me what's the next thing. Lord, open my understanding so I might see the direction that you're wanting to go. Because I believe we've got to have a direction before we go. Is that right? You want to go on vacation. You want to go to Hawaii. Huh? Do you buy a ticket for San Francisco? Huh? We're going to Hawaii. Well, honey, you got San Francisco here. Don't matter. We're going to Hawaii. No, man, you got to know a destination. Is that right? God wants you to know a destination. So, hey, come on, man. Say, Lord, show me a ticket. Show me a dream. Show me a vision. Those are tickets. Those are where you're going. Amen? Come on, man. God has no problem giving his people that kind of stuff. No problem. Trouble is, maybe we're not asking. Amen? Come on. Come on. We're not asking. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, we are in the day we're living. It's time to start asking because God wants us to know. He desires that we know everything that he has planned for us. How do you know that? That's cool, man. Hallelujah. But, hallelujah. I want to take you to Psalm 62:10. Let's look at that. I'm going to stop. Psalm 62:10 says this, trust not in oppression. And become not vain in robbery. It says, and then he says this, if riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. You see that? There is a way to go through this thing. There is a way for God to bless you that won't hurt you. How many of you know that? How many of you want to be blessed? How many don't want to get hurt? I'm going to tell you, there's a way that God wants to bless you so you don't get hurt. Hallelujah. And it says this, and he says, don't set your heart on them. See that part where it says, trust not in oppression? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If somebody is coming to you and telling you that you have to give, we don't do that here. I don't tell you you got to pay your tithes, you got to pay your... I don't tell you that. I'll tell you that if you do that, you're going to be blessed. Amen. God will bless you. But I will not force it out of you because it's not... Force does not work in the kingdom. How do you know that? Force will not work in God's kingdom. So if I force you to go back to the box back there and drop your... You know what? What I'm doing is it's robbery. It's vain robbery. Hallelujah. Now when you're like that little child, there was a little boy in here. He was upset because we didn't pass the a box. There was a little boy. He goes, hey, he didn't take the offering. He was all upset. And somebody said, well, you got to put it in that box back there. And he ran to the box, dropped it in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, that's the kind of stuff that God looks at. Amen? Hallelujah. And I like looking at it too, man. Teach a young child that, man, I'll tell you what, that child's going to be blessed. Because if they continue to do that thing, God gets a hold of them. And he takes them and he begins to show them things. He begins to give them understanding and, come on, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. But if riches increase, don't set your heart on that. Amen. Is that a good word? Hallelujah. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. You're going to like this. Glory to God. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heard the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. I just want to get you to focus on that. It says the deceitfulness of riches. How many know that riches are deceitful? But can you have riches? Yes, you can. So if there's a deceitfulness of riches, let me tell you something. There must be a truthfulness of riches. Is that right? Because otherwise God would have no business giving it to us. Not wanting to give it to us. God would say, I can't give you this stuff because it's going to ruin you. How many people have gotten ruined by that? Go after the lottery with all their heart, man, win a big, big deal, and they're ruined. Lose their family, lose everybody, all their friends, they lose everybody. They end up just hurt. Amen? Rich, I mean, because they don't understand it. But it says this, it says, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. But what if there's a truthfulness of riches? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look at this scripture. It says Luke chapter 16, verse 11. Hallelujah. Look at what the Lord is saying here. It says, if therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon or money, if you have not been faithful in it, who will commit to your trust what? True riches. See, there is true riches. Is that right? Think about that. There is true riches. And folks, let me tell you something. Those are the riches God's trying to get into your hands. Hallelujah. The true riches. The riches that he knows is not going to destroy you. It's the riches. Hallelujah. That will cause you to be the head, not the tail. That will cause you to be above, not beneath. Hallelujah. Cause you to give to others. And you won't borrow, is what the Word of God says. Isn't that cool? These are what the Word of God calls true riches. True riches. Everybody say true riches. Hallelujah. This is our verse for today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was, what? He's a rich man. The richest man the world's ever seen. Is that right? Didn't he say it himself? A greater than Solomon is here. Didn't he say it himself? He said, a greater than Solomon is here. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for who? Your sake, say my sake. Everybody say my sake. He became poor that you through his poverty, what? Man. Think about it. Hallelujah. So that you might be rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you this. Riches. The Greek word is, you know, like the planet Pluto? That's the word. Plutos. It means wealth as in fullness. Money, possessions, abundance, richness, and I like this one, valuable bestowment. Bestowed something that's very valuable to you. Placed it upon you. Hallelujah. Isaiah 45 verse 3 says this. And I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Do you see that? Yeah. Hidden riches of secret places. That you might know that I, the Lord, which call you by your name, am the God of Israel. You see that? I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. How many of you know? Psalm 91 starts out with this. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, and my God. Secret places. How many of you know that the Word of God tells us to enter into your closet? Amen? He will give you the riches of secret places. He says, enter into your closet. He's talking about your prayer closet. That's what he's talking about. He says, enter into your closet and shut the door, and your Father, which sees in what? Secret. He will do what? He will reward you openly. How many say that? I mean, if you're in for that, somebody just raise your hand and say, man, yeah, I'll have some of that. Come on. Some of you. Not all of you. But I'm going to tell you something. Hallelujah. Hey, God sees that hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, no, how many are in for this? Man, you know what? I'll take it. Lord, if it's God, that's what you have for my life. Man, I'll take it. And I'm going to tell you something, that this is what he has for it. But look at this. Look at this. Hallelujah. Secret places. Secret places. You know that God is trying to give us some. Trying to give us understanding in what he's doing for us. Is that cool? He desires for you to know. Hallelujah. And I wrote down a little statement of something that you know, that in this balance that we gotta watch ourselves in. I found this statement, and it says this. The problem with mankind today is they are always looking to the dollar sign, and think about this, for direction. Think about it. We always look to the dollar sign for direction. Is that right? Come on, man. Where are you going to school? Yeah. Oh, that's not a very good job. You need to get this job. They pay more. Hallelujah. And see, we're trying to get direction from the dollar sign. Is that right? How many of you know we're supposed to get direction from God, Him only? Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. If we learn that and learn it well, that the direction that comes from God is the only direction we need and to be looking for and after, you watch what God does. Hallelujah. You watch what He does. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. God is trying to give us the secret things. When you go into that secret place with God, He wants to open things up to you. He wants to show you those things. So Ephesians chapter 1. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. When you go into that prayer room, when you're praying with God, Paul, the apostle, is saying, I'm asking God to give you a spirit of revelation and wisdom in the knowledge of Him, knowing Jesus. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Is that what he's saying? Yes. He wants you to know what is the hope of His calling in your life. Amen? Come on, man. Hallelujah. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us, to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. God is trying to reveal things to you. Hallelujah. I wish I could do that for you. I can preach up here, teach up here, but unless the Holy Spirit opens your mind and you allow Him to speak to you, hallelujah, might not be getting anything. But the Holy Spirit is going to take you into those things. Amen? Praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Hallelujah. Come on. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to look at that. Whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's the mystery in this? What's the mystery? What is God opening to us? He's saying that it's Christ in you. The mystery is Christ in you. How many of you know that we need to understand that God is in us? How many of you know that God has placed His Spirit in us? Hallelujah. Oh, my mind keeps pushing back to where Jesus said, and greater than Solomon is here. There is one greater than Solomon here. There's one greater than Solomon here. There's one greater than Solomon here. He says that this is a mystery. He says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Move down to verse 2 of chapter 2 in Colossians, and it says this. He says this. Oh, I'm going to read verse 1 too. It says, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. For as many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. God wants you to acknowledge that it's Him that's in you. How many say, man, God, hey, come on. How many know the Word of God says that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Is that right? Hallelujah. To that acknowledgement. Acknowledgement needs to be made along that. That's what Paul is saying here in chapter 2. Get it, when you get a chance, read through these things. That this acknowledgement is important to you. You need to know that you know that you know that you know that He is in you, and you need to acknowledge it. It needs to be acknowledged. Hallelujah. Huh. Acknowledgement. The word is epignosko. I don't know, man. Some of these Greek words are kind of weird, huh? Epignosko. It reminds me of a word in Spanish. Ruben, help me out if I'm saying this right, bro, okay? Conozco. What does that mean? To know. And that's kind of what it reminds me of. Epignosko, okay? That's what. Dumb Mexican. Come on, man. Hallelujah. But it says, this is what acknowledgement means. To know. Upon some mark to recognize and become fully acquainted with. Full discernment. You see, God wants you to recognize, to be fully acquainted with, that His Spirit dwells in you. Praise God. Listen. It's important to God that you acknowledge that. It's important to Paul when he said that. It's a conflict for me is what he said. Paul says, it's a conflict that I'm having that they would acknowledge that God, that Christ is in them. Ooh, come on. I'm talking about riches, folks. One greater. One greater is now here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 6. Who did Jesus say He was? I am of the Father. Yeah. And what did He say? Truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that what it says? John 14, 6 says, He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 8, 32 says this, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many know that? How many like being free? Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I love being free. I love the freedom that comes knowing the Lord. I love it. And the only way that you get free is you stay in the Word of God. The more you stay in the Word of God, the freer you'll get. Amen? Can you hear that? Stay away from this book, and things seem to kind of sneak back up on you. They seem to, chains begin to kind of get a hold of you. You start getting mad at people. You won't be forgiving to people. All these things begin to happen because you're staying out of the Word of God. But when you stay in the Word of God, a freedom begins to take a hold of you like you've never had it before. And Jesus wants His people free. He wants you free, He says, and you will know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. I'm going to give you some characteristics of truth. Truth is powerful. How many know that? Amen. How many know that when you just say something, you just tell somebody the truth, man, it can help them. Is that right? Truth is powerful. It's passionate. Is that right? It's passionate. It's without moderation. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Without moderation. It's kind of like you driving your car, like my wife drives her car. My wife drives that pedal is, I'm sorry, babe, I'm just kidding. She's a hot rodder. She likes it. I should have married Mario Andretti or something. I don't know. No. But truth is without moderation. That gas pedal moderates how fast you go, how slow, right? Truth is not like that at all. Truth is either all true or it's not true at all. Come on, man. It's either all true or it's not true at all. That's why people teaching people half-truths have people where they can't understand and they're not growing and they're not being built up. But you begin to tell them truth and they get stronger and stronger and stronger because we're speaking truth one to another. And you know what I love about it? It says that Truth does not show the nature of man. Do you know that? Never does. Never shows the nature of man. I tried looking up truth in the Bible, in the dictionary one time. And it kind of takes you into a circle. It says truth is something true. Okay, so I looked up something true, and it said, you know, one of the definitions was like, you know, when you make a rim for a car, you want to make it true, that kind of a true. But it's not talking about, we're talking about words. And it says, you know, so truth said something true, I want the true. And then one of the other definitions is something that is of truth. Come on, man. Oh, that really helps me. You know, I didn't go to a lot of college, but I said, Matt, I know what truth is. No, I don't. I didn't know what truth is. But Jesus told Pilate something very, very, very pointed. When Jesus told, I have come so that they would know the truth, Pilate said, what is truth? Huh. It's a good question. What is truth? The Word of God says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, truth does not show the nature of man. It only shows the nature of Jesus Christ. That's what truth is. Truth is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He said it himself. Amen. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Truth. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, I said something in church here, and somebody stopped me and asked me, he goes, do you really believe that? And one of the things I said, you can take a man that's been studying the Bible on the South Pole and a man that's been studying the Bible on the North Pole. You guys remember when I said this? And he said, and if they've been studying the Bible and been led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has talked to them, they can meet somewhere on the equator, and they all agree on everything. How many believe that? Yes. Do you know it's important that you believe that? Because Jesus preached it. He said, and when he didn't preach it, he was praying. He was asking his Father, Father, that they might be one. Is it impossible for all Christians to agree? Is it possible? All things are possible with God. Is that right? By the Holy Ghost, it's possible. It is. It is. It is. Did I wake somebody up? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have hit that. Hallelujah. Listen. It is the Holy Spirit that is directing His church today. It's not man. It is the Holy Ghost. And hallelujah. And you will find yourself. You know, I've heard people say, well, I agree not. I agree to disagree. Whatever. That's not the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Because truth is truth. It's all truth. It's all the time. It always pushes. It's either all true or it's not true at all. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is how God wants us to stand. He says there's only one way you're going to stand. You're going to stand on truth, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to look at these verses. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. Glory to God. Whew, that's a little. Neither pray I thee for these alone. He's talking about his apostles. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. How many is that? How many of them are in the house? They that believe through their word. I mean here. Hallelujah. He's talking about us. That they all may be what? One as thou, Father. Sorry. As thou, Father, art one in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Hallelujah. Do you see how important it is that we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us? This is true riches, folks. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given who? Them, us, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be what? Made perfect in one. Is it possible? If Jesus is praying this, is it possible? Come on, man. Come on. You know it's possible. Jesus prayed it for a reason, so that we would hear it today, or we would know it, that God says, I am making my people one. We are in the middle of something that the Holy Spirit is doing. It's not man. You know what? You got something. I mean, you got your teaching. Oh, you know what? Grab that book and just throw it off and pick up your word and go after it and say, God, show me and teach me these things. Because God is, like I've said to you, the last few sermons, and God is preparing us for what's coming. And I'm not trying to scare you. But God is preparing us for what is headed in our direction, no matter what it is. It can be riches. It can be. But God is saying, you got to know that it's me. Amen. Not Henry. You need to know that it's God by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Amen. Can you put on the last two verses? It's going to be 25 and 26. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I've known you. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them. And I in them. The love that you have loved me. How many of you know that God loved his son? Sent him to the cross for us. But he loved his son. He loved his son. And Jesus knew it. And he says, the love that you had for me, that they might know that love. So that they might give that love to the world. How many know that? Hallelujah. You want to talk about real riches? Hallelujah. God is saying it's time. It is time. It is time that you understand what he's doing in your life. No one else can show you, folks. Nobody else. It's only him. Because the greater one, the greater than Solomon, he lives in you. Amen? And he is ready to speak to you. He's desiring to speak to you. Will you all stand? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I sense big things coming. I am encouraged. Can I tell you this? I want to say this to you. You guys probably know this already. I was going to preach on the lepers that were outside in Samaria that said, hey, let's go out there and if we die, we die, man. But sitting here by the gate, we're just dying away, so we might as well go out there. And I was going to preach about those lepers. But God said, no. I want my people to know that I have placed richness within them. He wants you to know that you are rich, even though you might look at your car when you go out there after church and the car don't look that good. But he wants you to know that you are rich and you can trust him and believe him for anything that you need. Hallelujah. He wants to show himself strong in your behalf. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says that his eyes are going back and forth across the world looking for somebody that will believe him. Hallelujah. Will that be you today? Are you going to believe him today? Will that be you? Hallelujah. I'm going to stand out there and say, Lord, I believe you, God. I believe, God, you're going to give us this building. I believe, God, that you're going to make this the hub that you've been talking to me about. That people are going to come from all over to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just from me, but from the men and women that are in this church, because there is a great anointing in this church. Thank you, Lord. And I believe it. and I see it, and to tell you the truth, that kind of scares me. Hallelujah. But God will have His church. He will bring us to that point that we're one, and the world sees and knows it and understands it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I just want to pray over the house this morning that God would take you even deeper than you've ever been before into the riches of His glory and His grace that He has for you, because He has so much for you, more than you've even imagined. So, Father, I thank You. I thank You for my brothers and my sisters, Lord. I thank You, Lord God, that You are, Father God, opening their understanding today. Today, Lord. Hallelujah. Today, Lord, that as they look in Your Word, Father God, that Your Holy Spirit would bring the life of that Word into their heart to strengthen them, to encourage them, to lead them and guide them. Father, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. You're doing a great work with Your people in the earth today. And we are so thankful that we're part of it, God. Thank You for it. Father, bless Your people. Bless their finances. In multiplying, multiply them, Father. In blessing, bless them, Father. Father, I speak to any sickness, any disease that's in the house. You're not allowed here. You're not allowed in the vessels of the kingdom of God. And I command you in Jesus' name that you leave. Hallelujah. I speak to these vessels, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That their mind, the clarity of the Word of God, would cleanse their minds in the name of Jesus. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but You have given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, Lord. And I thank You for that. Thank You, Father. I come against unforgiveness in the house. Unforgiveness. You are not allowed here. These are the vessels of the living God. So in Jesus' name, unforgiveness, you got to go. And you can't come back. You cannot come back in Jesus' name. Let the riches of the grace, the riches of the glory be upon Your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father, for it. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. People of God, be blessed. Be blessed this day. Be blessed this day. God is saying to be slow to speak, but ready to hear. Be slow to speak, but ready to hear. For He will give you the desires of your heart. Be patient. Let there be a constant abiding under what He has told you. Be patient. Let there be a constant abiding under of what He's spoken to you. And you will see the glory of God in your life. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank You, Lord.